We have such a good number here today. We are very thankful for your presence. I'd like to say again how wonderful the singing has been. It has just been wonderful this morning, and do appreciate all who are here today. You can see by the title, we are going to be talking about something a little bit interesting, I hope, today. It's called the Pinocchio Effect, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But what I want to kind of discuss this morning is really, you probably can tell by the picture, it's about lying. It's about trying to hide ourselves from God and the things to which He openly sees all the time. But there are certain things that we do as people that we shouldn't do, but it's sometimes difficult to hold back on some of these things. I know sometimes when I'll preach a lesson about lying, the parents all say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you. My children need this. My children need to understand it. They need to hear it from you just like they hear it from us." But I think it goes long past that. I think it comes to any of us, because at any given age, we still sometimes may twist the truth a little bit. We may try to say things that are a little more deceptive than what we would like to do, or what we would like to have. We will sometimes because of various reasons, to, just like a little child, not to be in trouble, we may blurt out a lie. And so, because of these things, what we need to understand is that no one is invisible to God. No one. We may think we are because He's invisible to us, but no one is invisible to God. The Bible clearly instructs us that God sees all things, no matter what is going on, and He will judge all things as well. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at verse 34, we read that very plainly. "For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil." Now, if you're like me, that word, when you see secret, sometimes could be a bit alarming, because we are able to act in this world among other humans in secret. We're able to hide ourselves away. We're able to tell somebody something, and most times people don't ask a whole lot of inquiring questions after that. So we can kind of put people at bay. We can kind of find our own space. We can go back in private. We have our homes where we can kind of go into and have our privacy. You can even be in your backyard today and put up a fence 8 foot high and say, "I've got my own privacy, so my neighbors don't even know what I'm doing when I'm sitting in my own backyard." But to God, there are no secrets. None whatsoever. And many people will take this ideology and say, "Well, I can understand this, that God will see all things. I've got myself in my own private world. I've got my own secrets. Nobody here knows my secrets, so I'm okay, because I can make things right with God later on. But I don't have to deal with the consequences of these folks knowing today. I don't have to deal with all of that stress and worry about you folks knowing something more about me that I would want you to know today. If it's God who knows it, that's okay. I did wrong. He'll forgive. But I can always make that right. And in the meanwhile, I don't have to hear a lot of stuff about it." So I ask the question, what if your spouse, what if your coworkers, or a neighbor knew your emotional state and what you were thinking just by looking at you? That could be a tad bit scary. That someone could just look right at you and know what you're thinking, and know if you're telling the truth or not. Well, if we do no wrong, then we got nothing to worry about. If this doesn't bother us at all, we have nothing. This lesson shouldn't make you nervous in the least bit. However, if you're honest with yourself, you may want to begin changing things as quickly as we can. The Apostle Paul wrote to those in Ephesus, and it's really God's message to the church regarding deceitfulness, regarding those who were active and unfruitful works, works of darkness. And basically, the beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it starts by Paul telling them, you need to be like God. You need to be more like God. But then he goes on to say, these other things are going to happen, we understand. But when things happen in the dark, they should be exposed. And they should be put out there. And let's read that in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, an unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 11 clearly says to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We read that all things are manifest in the light, in verse 13. And what does that mean, that word manifest? Well, it means readily perceived by the eye or understanding. It means evident. It means it's obvious. It means it's apparent. It means it's plain. To prove beyond question of a doubt, really to identify what is wrong and expose it, bring it into the light. The Apostle Paul wrote about being in darkness and that contrast from darkness to light. Yeah, when the sun goes down, what good comes? What happens when one is exposed? What happens? Well, there's a couple things that happen. There are those who, once they are exposed, will accept that and have godly remorse. There are others who, when they're exposed, will react entirely differently. We can take a thought in the Holy Scriptures when it was said that there were those who were cut to the heart about something they had been doing, and they found the truth about it. And one was cut to the heart in Acts chapter 2, right around 36 through 40 in that area. If you read that, you find that those that were cut to the heart said, men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? What must we do? They were godly sorrowful of what they had done. They were repentant. They were repentant. Now, you look at the others in the 7th chapter of Acts, when Stephen was talking to all those at the council and telling them how they had been living and how they had been living wrong, and then the Scriptures tell us they were cut to the heart. But what was their reaction being cut to the heart? They approached him. They ran to him. They gnashed on him. They stoned him to death. So we see when one is exposed, it could go one way or another. What we need to be able to do is that to which we find in Jeremiah chapter 6, when God was talking about this, when he said, were they ashamed when they had committed an abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. Not even were they able to blush. They couldn't see the error of their way. They were okay with it. But for us, it should be much different. We should still be able to blush. We still should have that conscience within us that's telling us what is right from what is wrong. And not to run with those who are active in evil activities. Not to do things that are going to shine us in a wrong light, that light of darkness, to live there. So what happens to you when you're exposed? I'm certain that all of us at some time or another has been exposed for something. Perhaps maybe you were called out one time for lying. Maybe for stealing. Maybe for cheating. Maybe for not returning something that you borrowed. Maybe for gossiping. Maybe being too lackadaisical. Maybe being too moody. Maybe anything. Maybe you've been called out for something, and how did you react? How does it make you feel? What were the consequences of being exposed? I will tell you, it's interesting. You work on a lesson, you're writing it out through the week, and then on Friday, I had a situation that fell right into this. And of all the people who should have known better, this is what I was thinking about all week. We have a situation at work. I send an email because someone needed to be called out for something that they did not do, that they were supposed to do, have done. And I put in there something else below that really was inconsequential to the whole information. However, I think I may have gotten that part wrong. And it wasn't 100% true what I put in there. Now, there's no way to track it to know one way or another, but because the person who I had sent this to, among with others, came back and said, this wasn't right, I couldn't prove it one way or another. I said, I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry. Twice, I sent right back to him. I made sure others knew as well. However, the fact of the matter is that the initial reason to why this was being sent in the first place, now because of the secondary part that wasn't or was not correct, he was able to deflect everything off of that and put it on everything else. The result didn't end up the way it was supposed to. I could have reacted in a multitude of different ways. I could have shouted, I could have jumped on the phones, I could have called a conference call, I could have done all kinds of things different. But the bottom line was, as Christians, if we do anything wrong, we're supposed to make good on that. If we're exposed for anything, whether it be, in this instance, even questionable, what's the right thing to do? But there are others who won't act that way. To be exposed is not a fun thing. And I know in years past, I may not have reacted quite like that. Could have reacted totally differently. Defensive is usually what happens. The walls go up usually. We decide that, well, how is it you're telling me that I have given you a lie when you lie all the time? Or, I'm the one who got called for this, but look at all these things you don't do. Or you do that you're not supposed to do. Yeah. God says, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they even know how to blush. Well, now on to the second part of this lesson. And that is the idea of this, our actions being exposed and manifest in light. I recently came aware of technology that's been really being building for a number of years, but it's coming pretty fast and pretty furious. And that is something called transdermal optical imaging. Some of you may know about this, some of you may not. But what it basically is it's a doctor of science that has done a lot of studying about facial recognitions and different things about the face, basically to help other segments, but it's now being marketed and used in a lot of different ways. And this fellow is Professor Kang Lee of the University of Toronto, Ontario, Institute for Studies in Education. It's a global leader in research that's changing the way we detect emotion and behavior, such as lying. And an excerpt from this one article, and I've seen it on various programs, but I've studied human face processing and deception for over 2 decades, says Lee. To facilitate this research, I worked with my postdoctoral fellow, Dr. Paul Zhang, to develop a new imaging technology that uses a conventional video camera to reveal facial blood flow changes when people are experiencing various hidden emotions, including emotions associated with lying. We call our technology transdermal optical imaging. Although it was originally developed to study face processing and deception, this versatile technology has many, many business applications, including to market research. When a person lies, they experience a Pinocchio effect, which is an increase in the temperature around the nose and in the orbital muscle in the inner corner of the eye. In addition, when we perform a considerable mental effort, our face temperature drops. And when we have an anxiety attack, our face temperature rises. And that was documented in 2012. They've since taken this technology to where they say the best market research exercises can't consistently determine when people lie when they're doing their market research. So they've used it in that area, and they found that they've really gained a lot of additional data from that. Because some would be, they say, well, I like that product, and, you know, it was pretty good. I would buy it. And then as they were doing this through this transdermal optical imaging, they found out that they weren't really telling the truth. And so they would talk to them afterwards and find out, well, yeah, I understand that. Like an aftertaste of a soda. Yeah, I guess I did have that aftertaste. Yeah, that was there. Well, you said it wasn't. So they're getting better data on their side. However, a technology company is developing a lie detector app for smartphones that could be used by parents, teachers, and internet daters. The app measures blood flow in the face to assess whether or not you are telling the truth. Now what do we do? Well, we must remember, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Being exposed is no fun. The end is not worth the attempt to deceive or cover up. We cannot and never will be able to hide anything from God, ever. But soon, we may not be able to fool anyone. The day is coming. I think it would be wonderful for us to get our behavior in order now, before we're embarrassed in front of others, but much more importantly, get our behaviors in order so we are not cast away from our home in heaven. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. The song that's been selected for our invitation today is God Calling Yet. And God is calling. He continues to call. He's right outside the door awaiting any who are in need. And so before we dismiss, the Lord's invitation is being extended to any and all, for whatever your need may be. If it's baptism you've been thinking about, well, we are ready, willing, and able to help you with that. If there's things in your life that perhaps you've just been struggling with, maybe you've been having a real hard time in certain areas of your life, then perhaps we can help you with prayer. I know we can help you with prayer. Perhaps we can help you with encouragement. Many, many times that helps a tremendous amount. Whatever your need may be, we are all here waiting, just as God, for you to just say. And we will jump to action. So whatever your need may be, please let us know by coming to the front now as we stand.